This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're all going to be talking more about climate change for the next couple of weeks. COP26, that's the big UN climate conference, starts this weekend in Glasgow. And somewhere up high on the agenda, number one on the agenda, you might imagine, will be ideas to cut carbon emissions. And among them is a carbon tax, a price on pollution, fundamentally, which a whole lot of economists agree is the most efficient way to reduce the amount of carbon we are spewing out into the atmosphere. More than 20 jurisdictions around the world already have some kind of carbon tax. The United States, however, is not one of those jurisdictions. We asked Marketplace's Andy Euler to find out why not.
The idea of a carbon tax first got tossed around during the energy crisis in the 1970s. You put a fee on something like gasoline and people will use less of it. It's a solution that a lot of economists love because it's really easy to implement.
If you want to say from an economic standpoint, how do you want to reduce greenhouse gas emissions at the lowest economic cost? I can't think of anyone that wouldn't say a carbon tax is right at the top of that list.
That's Shiling Su. He teaches environmental law at Florida State University, and he wrote a book called The Case for a Carbon Tax. Su says the carbon tax in the Canadian province of British Columbia has reduced greenhouse gas emissions without compromising economic growth. Britain also introduced a tax on carbon emissions in 2013. Researchers from University College London found it drove down the amount of electricity generated from coal from 40% to just 3%. So if it works, why don't we have one in the U.S.?
I think the short answer is lobbying.
That's Tom Lyon. He's a professor of sustainability at the University of Michigan. The fossil fuel industry outspends the renewable energy sector on political contributions by 13 to 1, according to scholars at Yale. A lot of companies outside the energy sector say they want to cut carbon emissions, but Lyon says they aren't putting their political money where their mouths are.
They'll say good things, but they don't allocate large amounts of lobbying dollars and effort to the cause.
A carbon tax is also up against the fact that nobody really likes the idea of more taxes, no matter what the goal is. Orrin Cass, the conservative think tank American Compass, says the important question is who ends up paying.
It's a deeply, deeply regressive tax that disproportionately lands on lower income households who spend disproportionately more of their income on energy.
That's true. But Larry Goulder at Stanford says there's a way to fix that.
A lot of the proposals for a carbon tax are for a revenue-neutral carbon tax, which means that whatever gross revenues are brought in are returned to the private sector in the form of a fixed check back to every American household in equal amounts.
A check for, say, $200 isn't going to do anything for a corporate CEO, but it would mean a lot to low-income families struggling to pay their utility bills. But any policy change is going to be a tough sell in Washington because so many lawmakers' constituents would be affected. That's according to Robertson Williams. He's an economist at the University of Maryland.
The fundamental political problem here is that deep cuts in emissions require substantial changes to our energy system. And that's going to create winners and losers, and the losers are going to fight it.
Now, there are other ways to reduce carbon emissions, Williams says. California, for example, has set higher fuel efficiency standards for cars, and it sends checks to drivers who buy electric vehicles.
The big advantage of those is that they make the cost less obvious. With a carbon tax, it's very obvious what the cost is, and it becomes more obvious who the losers are. With some of these other policies, you can hide what the cost is and hide who the losers are.
What those policies don't do, and a carbon tax would, is provide information on how much consumers and companies are willing to pay to pollute. That data could help lawmakers and regulators craft policies that don't fall hardest on those who can least afford it. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.